stories, and much, much more. Plus your Chapel Hill Carrboro traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, three of UNC's top athletes from this past year were recognized on Tuesday for their outstanding achievements as they were awarded the Patterson Medals, which is the school's most prestigious athletic honor. Good afternoon. It's currently 81 degrees outside the studio here at WCHL. You could not ask for a better afternoon. The sun is shining. There's a light breeze. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. Bruce Rosemann here with you on this glorious afternoon. And joining me here by phone in the studio is a special guest, Dr. Deb Stroman, Clinical Associate Professor of Organizational Behavior at the Keenan Flagger Business School. Dr. Stroman, how are you?
You're exactly right. This is San Diego weather. I hope everybody can get off work early or come outside of your apartments and homes and just take in this beautiful, beautiful weather.
Oh, it's definitely got me California dreaming. That is for sure.
Well, so today,
yes.
Go ahead.
No. Yes, we're talking about Title IX, correct?
Absolutely. June 23rd is the official 45th anniversary of Title IX. So we need to talk about this. We should actually do it all year round. It's really, really positive to look at the media reports, in particular on ESPN and sport-related programming, because they are acknowledging this groundbreaking policy, governmental amendment that was enacted in 1972. And for those in the listening audience who aren't familiar with Title IX, it is the federal law that states that no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity that receives federal financial assistance.
Okay, and that actually dovetails with the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So it's great that the NCAA recognized that.
Yes. The thing that's important to remember, though, is that this is for public and private educational institutions. And generally we hear about it because of sport, but it does apply to all areas of the college campus. In particular, I want to talk about a very disturbing NCAA report. They obviously have to comply, and they just put out a big report looking at where's the progress. This report definitely acknowledges the fact that there's a higher number of women participating in intercollegiate athletics. In fact, it's at an all-time high. But women only make up 46.7% of all student athletes in the NCAA's three divisions, 1, 2, and 3. Also, the report found that these Division I colleges and universities like UNC, the Big Five conferences, ACC, Big Ten, SEC, they spend twice as much money on men's sports than they do on women's sports. And so every 5 years there's an audit that's being done. In fact, Carolina is either finishing up or just completed their audit. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. As you mentioned, the Office of Civil Rights, this is where everything is supervised or monitored. And so what is going to happen with this type of these type of statistics coming out? I also want to mention the one that I know that Coach Sylvia Hatchell, head coach of women's basketball at UNC, is particularly interested in. Women make up 23% of all head coaches, athletic directors, and conference commissioner positions in intercollegiate sports. In 2015-16, men made up almost 60% of all head coaches of women's sport teams. When Title IX was enacted back in 1972, over 90% of the coaches of girls and young women were women. And now we see this trend where men are definitely coming into this space and really now in the majority.
That's interesting. What do you think the reason is for that disparity?
Well, you know, definitely complex. I would start out most with the fact that men want to coach. Many of them are former athletes or they've been around athletics and they want to coach and they want an opportunity. And some see that it's easier to make your mark or at least start the progression to be a top coach in men's sports by starting off with girls and women. Definitely more opportunities there. So part of it's just interest. Definitely I want to mention the fact that the economics, especially when you're talking about Title IX money with Division I coaches, it is very attractive now to be a head coach of a Division I female sports team. You know, the money can be anywhere from $50,000 to six figures. We know there are a number of women's coaches, women's basketball coaches who make north of $300,000. There aren't many, but they do make that type of money, plus you have to add in the endorsement. Another, I would say, and certainly being a professor of organizational behavior, this shouldn't be strange or surprise to anyone, but the good old boys network is at work, and people tend to hire those who they're comfortable with. And so when you have a higher percentage of athletic directors that are male and are white, then they tend to look at white males. Of course, there needs to be more examination of that, but no one's saying it's bad in and of itself. But people tend to hire who they're comfortable with.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman here on WCHL. So, Dr. Stroman, then, with this report in mind, how does it connect with the broader picture?
Well, you know, I've always felt that sports really mirror society. And I know you can turn on the TV and you can look and see women participating in sport or people of color and say, wow, sport really gets it. They can just put away any type of categorization and just go play the game and everybody's focused on winning. But I do believe it reflects society, and there are parts of society where we do have that full respect and celebration of difference. But when you get behind the curtain, so to speak, if you look at the numbers, you see that sports struggles just like business, just like any other industry out there. I think a lot of attention has been on the tech space more recently, in particular Uber. The president, the CEO recently resigning because of all the pressure around sexual discrimination, all of that that was going on. And so you have different areas within our country where we're still challenged with embracing everyone and seeing the value of how it can make a difference when you bring in different types of thinking, when you bring in people who have different perspectives, different backgrounds, racial makeups. All of the different categories, it's helpful to the bottom line. And more importantly, it's another way to show that you really are interested in treating people the right way and letting people being empowered. So as society struggles with this, sport continues to struggle with it as well.
Yes, indeed. And wrapping up here, I know the report is on the NCAA, but talking about the NFL here, do you think we'll ever see a female player in the NFL?
Well, I don't think that has to do with the mental aspect, and we know playing professionally, a big part of it is your mental strength, your mental stamina, your mental acuity. But when we talk about the physicality of the NFL, I don't see that happening. We do see some women playing football, even at the Division I level, but they're kickers. And so they aren't required necessarily to do the hitting and the blocking, just go out there and kick the ball. To have the leg strength that is required to be an NFL kicker, I don't see that physically being possible at this point. I'm encouraged by women who continue to try to improve their physical skill to try other sports where you can compete against men or with men. I think football is definitely something that's just not going to be something that's popular. And of course, with all the attention on concussions and the damage that can happen to your body physically, I even see, in fact, we all can note the statistics of the decreased participation rate of boys in football. So I really don't think women would get involved in the NFL.
Yes, those concussions, those are something to worry about. We talked about that a little while ago here on WCHL. The study's being funded by the NFL at UNC to talk about that. So definitely a pressing issue. Dr. Stroman, thank you very much for coming on the show today. I'm sure we'll be talking about this Title IX report in good order at some point in the future.
Absolutely. I do want to point out one big highlight for the state of North Carolina in terms of Title IX. When you talk about athletic directors, we've got North Carolina Central, UNC Charlotte, UNC Asheville, UNC Greensboro, and NC State all have female athletic directors. So maybe it's something in the water here in the state of North Carolina, but we certainly do empower women in the athletic director space here in our state.
Well, that's great to hear that UNC is leading the way in that department.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Strummer. Thanks again, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this stuff in the very near future.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Time is 4:16. This is WCHL. With this California weather out there, I feel like dancing. Here's some David Bowie on 97.9 The Hill.